Parshas Bereishis, Tavshin Ayin Hey, the new year. And we're here sitting here recording this shmooze in my sukkah. And I wish everybody Froys Aleinu Sukkah Shloimecha Ushbizecha Yochim Lanu Sukkah Stavet Hanufolas. And Mr. Shemay will tie it into sukkahs also, the shmooze. But here we're going to emphasize and concentrate and focus on Parshas Bereishis. We find a very interesting Indian. Adam and Chava eat from the Eitz Hadas. They eat from the forbidden tree that's given to them. And because of that, they're banished from Gan Eden. And Chava receives a punishment that her child bearing will be with much pain and much anguish. Whereas Adam Rishon receives a different type of punishment. He is going to have to go out and work in the fields, and it's going to be very difficult in that endeavor. And we have to understand exactly, we know the punishments are Mida connected Mida. We have to understand, especially I want to focus and concentrate on Chava's punishment being the fact that her child rearing will be in a mad form of very difficult, painful experience. Let us start a little bit before with an unbelievable word that it's Be'etim, it's Munach and Rashi, even though many people just say this over at the Chaim's, it's Hashem, we should be Zerich, that all our Talmidim will be Zerich this year, at Vart, and at Aronson's. And many people say over the Chazal, the Pasuk of this week's Parsha, when they want to describe that now, Baruch Hashem, this couple is the Zerich to the union. So everybody speaks out and mentions the verse, the pasuk, and this week's parasha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes and announces to Adam that he feels that he needs to get married. So he says, "Lo toiv hayoyse Adam levadoi." It's not good for a person to be alone. Eselo ezer kenegdo. I will make an ezer kenegdo. Now, from the Pasuk and the way the Pashtus, the translation of it, and the understanding of it in its basic level, Avada the Pasuk means it's not good for a man to be alone. He needs to have a companion. The Pasuk is telling us and telling the thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to get across to other Rishon. That it's not good to be alone in this world. You need to have companion. Toivim Hashnayim and Echad, as we know, as I'll say, we just learned in the Koheles, Toivim Hashnayim and Echad. It's better two than one. For one person could sometimes fall. He can get a little bit, make mistakes, and the second one helps to pick him up. Companionship is good. But if we look down in Rashi, and I feel that a lot of people, and this is very much time with starting Chumash again, I feel it's very imperative that a lot of people take on the minhag to do Shnayim, the minhag, the mitzvah the Gemara says, and it's a thing that guarantees long life, and it's a Shulchan Aruch, it's supposed to do it, the Chiyuv, to learn the Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, and as the Mefarshim bring down, to learn with Rashi, and Rashi is such a powerful Pirush, and a lot of Rashis, even those who do learn with Rashi, we go over it, pass the tea, and just go over the Rashi's, and there's so much Munach and Divin, a lot of those, the Rashi's, and so much to gain. And here Rashi says, on this Pasuk, a fascinating word, that I think it's skipped over, and Rashi gives a tremendous insight to understand what is the function, what is the job, what is the woman's ikatach. The Pasuk says, like Toiv Oyosalam Levada. So we understood that it's not going to be alone, he's a companion. Rashi says something so very, very different. And he says like this. So Rashi shlo yoimru shtei rishuyis hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachad be'al yoinim ve'ein lo yizug ve'zeh betachtonim ve'ein lo yizug. Rashi says it's not good for man to be alone, for a man would be alone. If a man would be alone, he might fadimyun, he might come to fantasize that just like God is one above and I'm one down here, so I'm going to make myself into a deity. I'll become my own God. Let him have a wife. The Fizeh, I understood very, very geschmack the next parish of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vaita eselo ezer kenegdo. Let me make an ezer kenegdo. Rashi says, and we know the Chazal, what is this ezer kenegdo? Ezer means a helpmate. Kenegdo means against it. Either she's a helpmate or she's against it. So Rashi brings the Chazal, Zocha, if he zoicha, if he merits, she's an ezer, she's a helpmate. If loy zocha, so it's mashma that a woman will be either or. A man will go into marriage and he'll be either or, like the Gemara tells us in Brachos. In Marava, when a man used to get married, they said, moitza or motza, is she good or is she bad for you? Is she ezer or is she kenegdoi? This is a metzias of a woman. She's going to be either or. And my question to the crowd is, my question is, why is it either or? Let her be neither. And the answer is, this is Munach and the Rashi itself. The Rashi says that she has to be either or because that's part of her function. Since her function is that the man shouldn't lose himself, the man shouldn't take it in, and it may be he is the only one in this world, or he's in the form of a god. There's no one greater than him. Her purpose is to prove, well, not to prove, to help him to realize that he should keep his feet on the ground. You're not a deity. Don't lose yourself. Don't worship yourself. Understand your true being. That's the tafka of a woman. To help bring Emunah into the world, the Klalius, but even more so, her husband itself, her mate, she should help him realize to not to lose himself. Hakina v'atay v'akavoy, the things that are motzi a person from the oilam, that a person fantasizes his greatness and fantasizes the way above who he is. And the woman is to set him straight and to bring him down to earth to realize who he is. And not to lose himself. And therefore, very geschmack. Therefore, she has to be either a helpmate. What does a helpmate say? A helpmate means that you can't do it yourself. If you're a god, you don't need a helpmate. Or she's against him. She's diametrically opposed to him. That also proves that he's not a god. A god doesn't have any opposers. So therefore, that's why her tafkid is either Azer or Kenan. There's no in between. In order to fulfill her function, her tafkid, she has to be either an Ezer or Kenegda. Now we understand the Rashi beautifully. So therefore we understand that the task and the function of a woman, her creation, was to help man. And now we understand why she had to come from him himself. She couldn't be an animal. Man is above animal. It will never help. Now we understand the whole parasha. Adam went to all the animals, tried to find maybe this is the helpmate. Maybe it's the baboon. Maybe his wife is a rabbit. He probably wanted to call a bunny. Maybe it's a tiger. No, none of them could be his mate because they'll never accomplish this. Since man is in his metzias, in his essence, is greater than the animal, she'll never, that mate would never able to accomplish this tafkid. The animalistic side of it, maybe it could have been accomplished with those the animals. But this aspect, what the woman's creation was, that she should bring him down to earth. She should not let him lose himself and lose his who he's supposed to be, to fulfill his tafkid achayim. That's what she's there for. Therefore, the woman was created. Let's go further in the parasha. I'm going to understand now an unbelievable thing. We know that Chava was the first one. She was the one who instigated or started. Really, we shouldn't say she was. It was the Nachash that came, and he enticed her. But at the end of the day, it was Chava that took hold of the fruit of the forbidden tree, of the Eitz Hadas, Tohu V'Rohu, and she ate from it, and she got her husband to eat from it, and that brought about Nebuch, destruction. But I want to maybe understand it. How did Chava come to this? Again, this is our trial, and we're trying to understand. These are people that we are way above our knowledge, but we're just trying to understand from the Pesukim. And I have maybe a Ha'ara to understand it, and understand this parasha well. Even though in the parashas of the Torah we know what came first was the parasha of the Nachash, but and later on came the parasha of the children of Cain and Hevel. However, if we look in the parasha, if we know with the Metzias, the time, if we know the Gemara says Sanhedrin, that they had the children before they did the Aveir. And we know when they had their first child, he was given a name. What was the name that the first child was called? Again, this is all before the Chet. Says the Pasuk that Adam Yechava, Vayeda Adam is Ishtoi, she was given, and Taka today, there's a minute, so she was given the opportunity to give the first name to the child, and she gave the name Kayan. Why did she call him this name? Vatoyme Kanisi Ish Es Elokim, Es Hashem. I acquired a man, literally translated, Es Hashem with Hashem. Now, what does this mean? As Rashi brings down from Chazal, that before we were born, we were created by Hashem. Hashem created us. He created only us. But now, we partook in creation, the act of creation. As the Gemara says, Shloisha Shutfin. There are three people. Three people. Three are involved in the creation of a being. Father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Pasuk seems to be saying that Chava was a little bit ahead of herself. And she said, Karnisi Ish Es Hashem. And she was saying, I acquired a person with Hashem. She was equating herself to Hashem. And in a certain fashion, it's true. They are man, father, mother, creators. They helped create the human being, they told what. But she equated herself to Hashem. And that way, she maybe overstepped her boundaries. She overstepped her essence. And she said, listen, I'm a creator also. And she said, Es Hashem, with Hashem. She equated herself to Hashem. Es Hashem also has an implication, according to the Goyin, Es is always with, but without the same Kavana, and she had a different Kavana. Maybe there was a certain type of egoism involved in the fact that she was a creator. And this was, even very how subtle it was, but it was immediate that when she bore a child now, and she felt she had created the creating process, there was an egoistic, when she came to name it, it was Nisgala. It was revealed in the naming of him that Chava felt that she was also somewhat of a creator in the same fashion as the Kodesh Baruch Hu. She is a creator. In the same fashion as the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and she was equating herself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this maybe led her to a dangerous, dangerous path. That now, when the Nachash came to her after that, get this sequel over here. He came to her after that. And he said to her, do you want to eat from the fruit? Why should I want? Because you'll be like God himself. Ooh. That rang a tone. Being like God. Wasn't I just in that same process? Wasn't I just involved as a creator? And I named my son Karnisi Ish. I acquired a man. It's my acquisition. It's me. I'm a creator. I could be like God himself. Oh, this reminds me of something that just happened very recently. And the Nachash says you can be mamish like God. You can be Tachnay, and she started to open up. She had a big desire for it because that she walked down a forbidden path. When she said, Kanisi Ish, I acquired a man, it's my acquisition. Instead of being humbled and saying, okay, she participated. But of course, without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's all a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And even though we participate and we help bring someone to the world, at the end of the day, it's all a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to humble ourselves. And in some way, Chava lost that. And she started to desire the Ratzon to be even more a creator, more like a Hashem. That pushed her to eat from the forbidden tree. And that was a very, very conniving way the Nachash got to him. That's what the Chazal say. He went ba'orma, he went with shrewdness, because he knew that Chava, after having the child, was in that frame of mind. And that's what she heard him call him Kayin. Kanisi Ish, I acquired, it was my acquisition with Hashem, without the same kavanas, and she was trying to equate herself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew he could get her in that way, in that fashion. And this led to her downfall. But it was very much an unbelievable thing. Let's think of it now, very, very seriously. A woman's task was to be a creator, was to create, help create children. And was to populate, to help populate, that's the ikkar of the woman. She carries the child, and she has to bring the child to the world. That is her ikkar function, akeres habayis, to bring children to the world. The man has to go out. She's involved with the raising and the bringing children to the world. So her ikkar function is to bring children to the world. And her ikkar function was to bring a mooner to the world. That people shouldn't go astray and think that what? That they shouldn't think that they are deities, their own gods. She went exactly connected to that. And therefore, even her nature was to bring children to the world in that thing itself, which was her immediate nature, her natural, which was her natural habitat, her natural tafkid. Her natural tafkid. Hashem said, you were brought to this world to be. Man shouldn't become a deity, a god. And you went against the essence of what you were created for. So therefore, in your essence that you're here to bring children to the world, in that essence you will be affected. You'll have to do a bitzah. You have to do a tefillah. You have to come out to Kadosh Baruch Hu to beseech him. To cry to him, to have children, and then to carry the child, and to go through the childbirth, and to raise the children. You'll have to beseech Hashem, you have to come on to Hashem, because that is what you were created for. There's a big yisoid of it. Because in many areas of life where we get successful, we accomplished. Sometimes we lose ourselves. Sometimes we feel that we're self-made. It's us. And that's the nature of man. A woman was brought to the world to help bring a muda to the world. Her nature was to bring a muda, was to stop man. Be the other half, the plaguf, the azer kenegdoi, to stop him from losing himself. And becoming the koichi v'yotzim yodi, the person that thinks, self-made man, I could take on the world, I could be a creator, I could outstep my boundaries, and evil think that I don't have to come on to Kadosh Baruch. I don't have to come on to davening, I don't have to come on to beseeching him. I could live a life where I feel and I'm on top of the world and running the world, and no one can tell me not that way. This is one of the most dangerous things when a person is successful, whether in business, in any area of life. It could be in chinuch. It could be in avodas Hashem. It could be in his davening. He thinks that because he drank those eggs, He works on his voice. Avada, we have to make a shtadlus. But we have to realize the more Hakadosh Baruch Hu oiz v'yefsher, we can only try. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives the siyata d'shmaya for our success, and we have to know that, because for then we'll daven properly. We'll have a connection with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The hardest thing for the successful man, for the person who feels he's on top of the world, for the person who feels that he's in control, the hardest thing for him is to daven. Because what's davening all about? The whole davening is about one thing, basically. It's beseeching Hashem, coming onto Hashem, because we know it's only through you. But if a person thinks he lives with the concept that it's him, that he can do it, he doesn't need a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chas v'Sholem. And he thinks that he's making six figures right now. And the feeding, you know, the regular course of events, next year it'll be seven figures. And naturally, I'll be successful. And naturally, I'll sell buildings. And my portfolio, real estate portfolio, will get bigger and bigger. If he thinks that way, he's going to have a hard time dominating. Hard time connecting with others. A hard time realizing that it's not my own. It's not me. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every step of the way, my success, all the things I do well, all the things that I get praised for, Avada, we have to make the effort. And avada, we put in all the koichas, but the siyata dishmaya, the end result, the successful business meeting, the successful acquisition of a home, the success in chinuch, is all totally in siyata dishmaya, the Chodesh Baruch Hu role in it. Came to the Brisker Rav and they asked, Brisker Rav, you were so successful, Baruch Hashem, with your children. Give us the formula. Give us the 10 steps. Right? Tell us, how do you do it? And he said, of course, a person has to have a mahalath. There are certain things you should and shouldn't do in chinuch. But you know what's the most potent weapon? He pointed to Tehillim. Zogin Tehillim. Saying Tehillim. Beseeching Hashem. Crying that your children should be successful. Ruchnis. That's the most potent weapon. That's the most chush of a thing that a person needs in his recipe to be successful in chinuch. And the same goes for every single venture that we partake in. Whether it's to bake a cake, whether it's to drive to get to work, to be successful in work. Kapitel Tillim, the Shmoina Esrei, the beseeching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Dishmaya. We'll just end Odom and Chava after having this Kayin. What happened to this Kayin? This Kayin himself went on to be somebody who couldn't become humble himself to his younger brother. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that his brother, younger brother Taka, what he brought up was better. He couldn't humble himself because he was imbued in his name with this thing that he's on top of the world. It's his success. He's the one who's successful. Why wasn't I successful? Why was he more successful? And that brought about to the murder. To murder. Now it's so understood that finally when they had a son, who from this the whole world was established, what did they call him? After the whole Maisa, Vayeda Adam Oydesishta Vatelet Bain, Vatikra Shmo Shase. Why Shase? Ki Shosli Elokim Zera Acha. She doesn't mention her involvement anymore. Kanisi Ish, no more Kanisi Ish. Shosli Elokim Liban Zera Acha, Tachas Eva. Hashem gave it to me. It's Hashem's present to me. The child that I have is not because I, Baruch Hashem, you know, it comes from me, it's my child. I was successful in life, and that's when my child turned out good. I was successful in my chinuch because I'm a good, because I know I studied chinuch. I am zuchah to a child. Kishosli Elokim. Kadosh Baruch Hu bestowed me with this child. I'm zuchah to have success with my child in his chinuch and to raise him properly. Kishosli Elokim. Adam and Chava, especially Chava, learned the lesson. Vatikra Shmoi Sheis. She called him Sheis. She realized her mistake, that she had got stepped over the boundaries of what her purpose was. Her purpose was to bring a Muna. Her purpose was to make sure that Adam wouldn't step over the boundaries of thinking that maybe it's me. I'm in control. It's my world. She was brought into the world for that tafkid. And she overstepped her boundaries. She had a child. That from this child was going to come Avraham Avinu, who said, "Anoichi Ofer Ve'efa," after everything, every single thing Hashem, that he was successful in, all he said was, "Anoichi Ofer Ve'efa." He understood it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Tachlis of Asa. The Tachlis of Reishis Bar Elikim Esa Adam, Beis Beis HaShemayim Beis HaOretz, and brought a world into this world that we should recognize that he, it's his world. We're here to serve him. We're here to do his ratzon. And Bemes, as we're sitting in the sukkah, this is the Bemes, the message of the sukkah. We leave our homes, our sturdy homes, and we think we built. Of course we built it. We got a nice job, a 9-to-5 job. The wife also worked. And that's why I have a chandelier hanging in my bathroom. That's why when I open up my refrigerator, there's 71 shelves. There's a special herring shelf, just for herring. It's because of all the work I put in. This home that I built, it's all mine, Karnisi. I acquired such a wonderful thing with my avoida. He forgets about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once a year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave that domain. Go out from those walls. Go into a shabby, shaky hut with only the tefillah of the Mitzvah Kodesh Baruch Hu, and realize one thing: ain't oid mubata. Everything that I have is only Kodesh Baruch Hu. How many people do we know? How many families do we know who had the wealth, who had the good life, overnight? Overnight, it became oblivious. Overnight, in a small turn of events, everything became different. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. If he bestows upon us something good, we have to thank him. We have to have gratitude. And we have to beseech him further that I should be zeichah to him. We should never, ever, ever forget the lesson of the sukkah. The tzila de hamnusa. That's not our world. It's Hashem's world. Gracious Bar Lukim. Have a good evening.